We are kicking off today's podcast episode with a giveaway. Who doesn't love getting free stuff, especially when it's free, clean beauty products? Who doesn't want to win that? All you have to do is leave a 5-star rating and review of the show on iTunes or Spotify. Then you'll take a screenshot of your review and send me a DM with it or email me it. You will be entered into the giveaway and I will randomly select one winner. If you have already left a rating review, you can still enter by sending me that screenshot. There's a limited amount of products, so make sure that you get onto this as soon as possible. Good luck! Welcome to Balance Your Life Podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I am the host of this show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life Podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon. And today we have an episode that is very much around the topic of holistic healing and how to manage your stress, your anxiety, your overwhelm, your burnout. And even though my guest of the show today comes from an entrepreneurial background, this is actually really applicable to any sort of working environment, whether you work in corporate or you work in retail or you're a stay-at-home parent or you're an entrepreneur, I think that you're going to find a lot of value in today's podcast episode. And today I am joined by Ray Hyde Cornell. Ray has been freelancing for more than 15 years and is now sharing all of her most powerful business and manifestation tricks and techniques with other freelancers. If you've been freelancing for a while and haven't hit your goals, or you're just starting and you're feeling overwhelmed by it all, Ray wants to help you. From barrier-shattering monthly workshops to courses on pricing and client acquisition to private coaching and the group mastermind, she has a way to support you and help you triple your income within 1 year. On this episode, we talk about mental health and burnout as an entrepreneur, setting and honoring boundaries, and using human design in your life and business. You guys know I love human design, so that was a fun little area that we jumped into. We also discussed tangible tips to managing stress and anxiety in a holistic way, daily health and wellness rituals, and so much more. So with that, please welcome Ray to the Balance Your Life podcast. Welcome to the show. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my YouTube channel. Free yoga is how I got started on my incredible yoga journey, and I want to bring you the same practices and principles that inspired me to begin my practice. On my channel, you'll find workouts and fitness videos, yoga flows, meditations, wellness vlogs, and more. You can click the link in my bio to subscribe to my channel and support me and free online yoga. Welcome to the show, Ray. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thanks so much, Megan. I'm really glad to be here.
I would love if you could give a little bio of who you are and where in the world you are currently joining me from today.
Yeah. So I'm based in Lubbock, Texas. I'm originally from San Diego, California, but I have been a self-employed entrepreneur for about 15 years now. That was definitely not the plan. I was planning to go into the mental health world and be a counselor in the prison system. It's kind of following my parents' footsteps. They were both in law enforcement, and life just took me on a completely different path. And I'm incredibly grateful that I've ended up here because I have an amazing husband, amazing house, amazing town in this little dusty corner of Texas. And I just can't imagine life any other way. So now I run a content marketing agency and I'm also a business mentor for other self-employed creatives.
Isn't it so funny? As soon as you said you were looking to go into like mental health within the prison system, I remember when I was younger, I wanted to be a police officer because I wanted to help people. And I was like, no, like I'm going to be the person like to save the day and to help people. And I feel like I had this huge shift when I was working in corporate and I worked for a private investigative firm. And I realized I was like, I don't want to be the person who saves the day because of an emergency. I want to help people be preventative about mental health and burnout and to live a healthier lifestyle. Whereas, yeah, I felt like if I went that other route, I was just like, it's amazing. And I applaud anyone who does it. But I had realized that I wanted to be more of the person who was more preventative rather than reactive.
Yeah, you're totally right. And my dad is a patrol officer. Well, he's retired now, thank goodness. And my mom was a gangs detective. And you're right. I mean, their jobs were very responsive. They were very reactive. They weren't proactive. And I mean, there's something to be said about having a strong police presence in a community, but also that presence needs to be very positive in order for it to be proactive and preventative. Otherwise, yeah, it's just responding to 911 calls when shit goes sideways and bad things are already happening.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I would love to know, like, what led you down this path? You had an idea, this is where I'm going to go. And then you pivoted and you took this entrepreneurial route. What led you down this path?
Oh, lots of things. So like I said, both my parents were cops. And so I was kind of always fascinated by, I don't know if fascinated is the right word. Maybe I just felt very at home in the law enforcement and kind of criminal justice world. Like my dad's police station was my babysitter. Like when my parents would have overlapping shifts, one would drop me off at the station and I would kind of like hang out under my mom's desk or like hang out in the break room and play with the little magnets on the board and things. They had these little like cop car magnets that they would like diagram traffic collisions and things like that. I'd play with those. And then once the other parent's shift was over, they would pick me up and take me home. And so I was just always in the law enforcement world. All my dad's friends were cops. And so all of the kids I hung out with were cops' kids. And it's just kind of a culture. It's a little community. And so that world made a lot of sense to me, but I was fascinated by psychology. And there were a lot of kind of like weird tense dynamics in my family. And my mom was a very angry and aggressive person. And I was always kind of figuring out, okay, how do I not piss her off today? And so understanding and anticipating human thoughts and human behavior and all of that just came very natural to me because of how I grew up. And so psychology seemed to make sense. And I went into that in undergrad, and all the while I was putting myself through school as a freelance writer. I was writing website content. I was actually doing website development first, which is something I taught myself when I was in fourth grade and changed schools and had no friends. So I learned CSS and HTML and PHP and all those things that us 90 kids kind of did. And then, when I was already through a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's in professional clinical counseling and marriage and family therapy, and towards the end of my master's in criminology, I was working at a mental hospital and I just burned out. I was just miserable in the mental health world. The revolving door of seeing the same patients all the time coming in with the same problems and we're applying the same protocols and they're never getting any better. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I threw myself full time into the kind of side hustle that had been my financial stability through all of it. And that was one of the best decisions I ever made because it was really where I flourished and where I was able to strip away all the things that were stressing me out and just adding so much unhappiness to my life. And I was able to create this world, schedule, business model, everything that was totally custom to me so that I could heal from things that had happened in my past and really find my footing to thrive.
It makes so much sense. And one of the things, one of the topics I really want to talk to you about today is like holistic, like how do we heal from stress and on a holistic level? And I feel like there are amazing people out there who have incredible jobs that are very high stress. But I always feel like people who are in the entrepreneurial space, it's like, if you want to know what stress is, go into business for yourself, like become an entrepreneur, because there's financial stress, there's emotional stress, there's physical stress. I mean, there's so many different levels of stress that I feel like people don't really bank on. They just see this like end vision. They're like, I'm going to do this thing that I love. I'm going to help people. I'm going to make money doing it. It's going to be incredible. And then kind of the reality side kicks in and you're like, oh my God, I have to teach myself website development or coding or finances. And how do I track all of this stuff? It becomes very almost overwhelming to be in this space. What were the things that you encountered early on as an entrepreneur that really kind of made you question almost being on this path? Like what sort of stressors did you come up with that were really like, can I keep doing this? Can I actually do this?
Yeah. Well, I'll be totally honest. I've hit burnout multiple times, not just in the mental health world, but also once I was on my own doing my own thing. And like you said, like the entrepreneurial lifestyle is probably one of the most high stress situations you can put yourself in because all of the responsibilities on your shoulders, all of the weight of success. If you want to sell your services, that's on you. If you want to manage your money properly, that's on you. If you want to get projects done on deadlines, that's on you. Everything is on you. And I would say early on, there were a couple times where I just completely burned my business to the ground and started over. And I think the catalyst to that was not valuing the service that I was providing. And so there was a long period of time where I was doing blog posts for like $25 a pop. I was writing articles for car dealerships and manufacturers. So like Toyota, GMC, you know, all of that. And they were just, oh God, they were so painful to write because it was like, give me the specs on this vehicle. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the same exact thing over and over and over again, just with a different horsepower. And it's just like, you have to meet your financial obligations. I was sharing a mortgage with my, at the time, boyfriend, now husband. I had, you know, cell phone bill, electrical bill, like all of these things, student loan debt to pay off. You're trying to meet a certain financial threshold every month. And at $25 per blog post, you can imagine how many blogs I had to write. So some days I was at my desk typing for 16 hours a day. And it was just this constant grind of what do I have to look forward to other than waking up, going to my computer and trying to make money to pay bills. And I don't believe that that's what life is all about. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of entrepreneurs get caught up in because that's what's close. That's what's like right in front of your face is make money, make money, make money, pay the bills. And if you let yourself get too caught up in that, then you just sink deeper and deeper and deeper into it to the point where you burn out. And when that happened to me a couple times, I just threw up my hands and I was like, I'm done. And so I would email the client I was writing for, I'd say, hey, this is the last assignment I'm going to be turning in. And I would burn it down, make no money for 2 weeks or 2 months or however long it took for me to figure things out and then design a better model and then go build that new model.
And what was the catalyst that you realized something has got to give? I have to start taking care of myself. I have to start making actual decent money so that I can keep doing this thing that I love and not grow to resent it and go, you know what, I'm not even doing this anymore. I'm going back to work or I'm finding a corporate job.
Yeah, I think it's just, I've always been very in tune with that feeling of being miserable. So that probably sounds very strange, but you know, growing up, I came from a very unhappy household and I can recognize that feeling of misery. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad and I would occasionally get sick. Like it was like a cold kind of flu symptoms, kind of bronchitis symptoms. And it kind of was all of these things mishmashed together. And we'd go to the doctor and the doctor would say, there's nothing wrong with you. Like you don't have an infection. You don't have a virus. You don't have anything. He's like, I think it's stress. And I have learned over the years of going through that while growing up and my dad and I kind of commiserating around like, holy shit, we're both experiencing the same thing. We're like legit physically sick, but nothing's physically wrong with us, recognizing, okay, that's coming from our heads, that's coming from our mental state, our emotional state. And now I'm very sensitive to that. When I start to feel, the word that comes to mind is just misery, just miserable. That's when I go, okay, whoa, I got to nip this in the bud. Something has to change. And luckily, every time I've noticed that, I've gotten better and better and better at figuring out what is the thing that's causing that feeling? Because it's usually not the writing work, or maybe it's not even the clients that I'm working with. It's usually something very nuanced. And if I can change that, then poof, the misery goes away and I'm no longer stressed and sending my body on this downhill spiral into physical sickness.
It really is so amazing to me, in both a great way and not a great way, what stress can do for our bodies and our mental state. I feel like it's one of the things you do hear doctors talk about it all the time, like get your stress under control, learn how to like be stress free. And it's like, there's always going to be things I think that throw us for a loop or that give us stressful moments in our lives. And I think it's really important that we just learn how to deal with it, because you're never going to live a stress-free life. So you have to learn how to cope with it and how to adapt and pivot and all of that stuff. And it's funny because I have a similar story too. I used to get sick all the time. And I do believe there's an aspect of like, you have to make sure you're taking care of your nutrition and exercise and stuff. But I feel like we all know those people that are like, you eat pretty well. You may not be lifting weights in the gym for an hour every single day, but you're relatively active, but they're always so stressed and they're always so sick. And you're like, what gives? Like what's the correlation here? And I think like stress is something that is so important. So if you have a client who is, you're working with them even like on a business level or a mentoring level, and they're like, oh, Ray, like I'm so stressed all the time. I'm stressed about money. I'm stressed about meeting these deadlines. I'm stressed about like, will I actually be able to make this a full-time job that pays the bills and gives me, you know, a life?
Yeah.
Where are you beginning to coach them on? Is it, okay, like, let's not even worry about work right now. Let's worry about getting your stress under control by, are you looking at sleep with them? Is it breathing? Like, what are some of those tangible things that you do with clients to get their stress under control?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first, absolute first, most important thing is to realize that stress is a mindset. So we've all heard this kind of evolutionary story of how stress came into our present day lives, where the lion is chasing us. We need to be stressed because then it, you know, sends blood to our extremities, and it allows us to run faster. It allows our heart to beat faster. It allows our eyes to be sharper. It allows our hearing to be sharper and pick up on, okay, what direction is the lion coming from so I can get up this tree and hide and get safe and survive. But nowadays, we don't need to survive a lion attack. We don't need to preserve ourselves from getting eaten. And yet we're still feeling the exact same ramifications of stress. So where does that come from? If it's not coming from outside of us, and of course, naturally, there are going to be situations where if someone's in an abusive relationship, or if they are perpetually hungry because they don't have enough money to buy groceries, or if they're homeless, yes, those are external stressors. But for the majority of people nowadays, the stress is coming from within. And if you can, first of all, be aware of that, second of all, identify where is that stress coming from? Is it your job? Is it your relationship? Is it your kids? Is it your living situation? What is kind of causing, is it pressure that you're putting on yourself to meet certain goals? Where is that coming from? And then the third step is giving yourself a really stern reality check. Because a lot of the entrepreneurs that I work with, they tell me, man, I really got to hit this 5K mark. There's only 5 days left in the month and I've only hit 3,500. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I'm like, wait. Why do you have to hit 5K? Oh, well, that's the goal I set for myself. Okay. So if you set the goal And if you set the deadline, then doesn't that mean that you can change the goal and change the deadline? It's fully within your control. And that's just one example, but oftentimes the stress that we experience is put on us by ourselves, which means it sounds like I'm putting the blame on the victim, but at the same time, it means that you are actually empowered. You are now in control. You can change your circumstances and eliminate your stress like that. And to your point, there's never going to be anybody who says, oh, I live a completely stress-free lifestyle. No, of course, there's always going to be things that stress us out. Like, oh shit, I forgot my husband's birthday. I got to go run and grab a card and, you know, write something sweet in it. And like, that's stressful. But the quicker you can recognize the stress and do some mental cueing to reframe the situation and say, wait a minute, this actually isn't life or death. I'm in full control of this. The world is not going to collapse because I don't write this blog post today. It's okay. The sooner that you can reframe that for yourself, the sooner your stress symptoms go away and the shorter your duration of experiencing the stress that causes the illnesses and all these other things that can happen, the shorter that is.
I want to ask you like a two-part question. And my first part of this question is, if you specifically are in a moment of stress, whether it's related to like a work deadline or a family stress that's in this moment, it's like you're freaking out and having a stressful moment. What are things that you do specifically in that moment? And it can be lead, you know, afterwards, but like, are you stopping what you're doing and taking a deep breath? Are you, you know, rewiring your brain to be like, okay, like really what is the worst thing that could happen right now? What are the things that you do in the moment to help combat stress from your life?
Yes, I'd say the most common stressor that I experience nowadays is overwhelm. And it's kind of like these like champagne problems, right? Like first world problems where business is going so well that I am overwhelmed with work. And I can sometimes get in my head of like, oh my God, I'm going to let this client down. I'm going to let this client down. What if I can't get this done in time? I got to get this done in 20 minutes because I got this meeting that's coming up. You know, I can kind of get in my head about all the overwhelm and all of the demands that I'm dealing with within my business. So typically what I do, once I start feeling that sense of overwhelm, I make a list. I write down everything that is contributing to my overwhelm, whether it's work related, whether it's, oh, I got to refill the dog's food container. Oh, I've got to go check on the chickens. Oh, I've got to do whatever it might be. I write everything down and then I look at my list and I go, okay, are any of these actually super pressing? And I ask myself that question in the context of what is most important? Why am I doing this? Why am I running my own business? Why am I working from home? Why am I, you know, creating this schedule and this routine for myself? Why am I setting these goals for myself? Why? And the ultimate goal for me, and this is going to be different for everybody, but for me, it's so that my husband and I can spend time together and travel and make memories and have adventures. And so when I think about that, typically once I've made my list, I go, oh, well, if the priority is to spend time with my husband, why don't I just go give him a hug? And then I do that. I come back to my desk and then I go, okay, so which one of these things is most important? Because even if I get none of them done, the thing that's most important to me, my husband and my family, they're still going to be there. So that really calms me down because it gets me out of that spiral of, oh my God, 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 the to-do list. And instead goes, oh, the to-do list is not actually the life-threatening thing that I think it is. And what's actually really important to me isn't even affected by it. And then suddenly I can think clearly, prioritize, and be productive and chip away at the list.
What are things that you do on a daily basis or weekly basis that help you to start your day off well, maybe even end your day well, like health and wellness rituals that you do that you find really help to remove stress from your life or at least kind of set you up for a good day? Because like we were saying, we all know there's going to be periods in our day or in our week where we're stressed out, but like maybe you're like, I have a yoga practice and that at least helps me most of the time keep pretty stressed or at least level headed. And I find if I do that in the morning, it sets me up for a good day. Like, what are some health and wellness practices that you do either every single day or maybe weekly or even monthly that you find really help you to kind of eliminate stress from your life?
Yeah. I'd say I'm probably pretty typical in the sense that like all the things that you read about online that you should be doing, like exercising and meditation and, you know, self-care and all of that, I do those things. So there's not really anything that I do that is unique, but I would say that, so to answer your question more specifically, on a day-to-day basis, I have a very specific morning routine where I know that the things that are most important to me, those need to happen at the very beginning of the day before anything else, before I even look at my computer or my agenda or my email inbox. And that's waking up in the morning, drinking some water, doing my meditation, doing my workout at 7 a.m. And on alternating days, I have either just my own workout that I do, or I do my workout with my personal trainer. And then spending some time outside. I love being in our backyard. We have 12 adorable chickens who I like to go say hi to and talk to like a crazy chicken lady. And then, you know, while my dog is running circles around our backyard, and that just makes me happy. I'm out there for maybe 5-10 minutes, and the fresh air, the morning sun, that makes me so happy. And to start my day that way. And also, you know, I have my husband working from home with me now. And so we're always laughing together in the morning. So laughter, levity, joy, feeling connected to him. Once I have those things in my day, it's like nothing else matters. All the emails that come at me, you know, all of those things, it just, everything is put in perspective because the most important things are so present in my day-to-day life. And I would also say, you know, I'm not particularly religious, but I would consider myself spiritual. And so maintaining that kind of spiritual connection and spiritual practices, again, really puts things in perspective. You know, we are not meant to come to this three-dimensional world and kill ourselves over our email inboxes. Like, that's not what life is all about. And so remembering that can really separate me from the stressors and keep those from kind of entering my happy bubble.
Are there any like hard boundaries that you have when it comes to your business so that you don't feel that sense of overwhelm? Are you cutting off emails by a certain time? Is it like weekends I don't even look at my inbox? Because that is a hard no for me when it comes to the business side of things.
Yeah. And I would say I probably have a really weird schedule. So I work Thursday through Tuesday. So I take Wednesdays off. I don't do any work on Wednesdays. Wednesdays are like I might just lay on the couch in front of the TV. I might go lay out by the pool. I might go get my hair done. That's what I did yesterday. Yesterday was Wednesday. that's just my day. And if I have clients who say, hey, can you meet on Wednesday? Nope, not available. Because I've learned to understand and honor the way that my brain works best. And we've all kind of been bombarded with these messages that, oh, you have to train yourself to wake up at 4 a.m. and go run a 5K and, you know, do these ridiculous miracle morning routines. I don't believe in that. I think there are people who are morning people and people who are evening people. And when you can figure out your ideal routine that works with your unique energy pattern. You know, you may have 5 spikes of energy throughout the day. You may have 1. Everyone's different. And I've learned that I'm very, very, very introverted. I can do like one-on-one calls and client meetings and all of that, but they drain me and I need to recharge alone home, like in my PJs and my fuzzy socks, you know. And so I have designed my schedule very deliberately so that all of my meetings are on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays I have off, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I don't take any calls. And those are my days to be creative and to get my creative work done. So I still work as a copywriter. I still do content creation, still do strategy and planning for all of my marketing clients. And that happens mostly on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And I tend to recharge on Wednesdays and Fridays after my full days of meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So with those boundaries, I'm not only able to do more work and be more efficient, but I'm able to avoid that burnout. And thankfully, my clients, when I've communicated that to them, they've been very, very understanding because they know they're paying me for a writing service or they're paying me for my mental capacity. And they don't get that if they expect me to be on all day, every day.
There's so many things here that I'm like nodding my head so much to because I relate so much to it. But the one thing I wanted to ask you first off is, are you familiar with human design?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Generator.
Oh, okay. See, perfect. It's as you're talking, I'm like, I wonder if she knows what her human design is. Yeah. Because I feel like when I learned that about myself, like I'm a projector, my work schedule changed so much. And it's... Yes. Funny now because I feel like I do the least amount of work that I've ever done and I make the most amount of money. And yes. That's a really hard concept for entrepreneurs to wrap their head around is like, because I feel like a lot of the time we fall into this, I call it like that Gary V mentality where it's like, if you're not working 24/7 and you're not moving the needle forward, you're not contributing to your business. And that was me for a very long time. And I burnt out so much and so often. And I used to beat myself up so much because I was like, I love what I do. I wouldn't go into business for myself if I didn't love this. So why am I burning out all the time? And like, not a day burnout, but it would be weeks or like a month where I was like, I have no energy for anything. Yeah. And then learning about human design for me and figuring out how that worked with my energy flow and like, I am someone who doesn't do well with a lot of pressure. So like, how do I alleviate that pressure for my life to give myself that space?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I actually work with a lot of projectors on the Chiron side. And I feel like this is something that especially our Western society tells us, wake up, go to work at 8 a.m. You got a noon lunch break, end work at 5. Go home, do all the work around your house, make dinner for your family, be Donna Reed, whatever, go to bed, wake up, do the same thing the next day. Oh, and then somehow you're also supposed to take care of your kids and do all the grocery shopping, keep your house clean and do the laundry. And you're supposed to have a social life and when are you supposed to do all of that? And I think being a projector in particular, your natural energy pattern is the exact opposite of that. Projectors work so well in these short, concentrated bursts of energy, like 2 to 4 hours, focus on something that you're really passionate about. You get absorbed in it, you knock it out, and then that's it. No more work for the rest of the day. You got to go recharge. You got to go enjoy the sunshine, go bake something. I don't know, whatever you enjoy doing. You have to understand that if you try to force yourself to work like a generator does, like I'm like an energizer bunny when I get into work mode. I can go, 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 go. And sometimes my husband has to come pull me off of my desk because he's like, it's 6:30. I'm hungry. Let's make dinner. I'm like, oh, I've been here since 9 a.m. You know, so if a projector tries to take on the same schedule as a generator, it's not going to work. You're going to be miserable and you're going to burn out.
No, it's my husband's the same way. If he gets pulled into something, it's like, okay, I'll see you when I see you type of mentality.
Yeah.
What are some things that you do that you, for you to recharge your energy? So let's say you gave us your morning routine, but let's say you're feeling just utterly like, that was a day. My clients took a lot of energy from me. It can be big. Like you could be like, I go for a hour massage on the days for recharging, or it could be something as simple as like, I just take like a really warm shower and I feel like that recharges and removes energy from me that's not mine. What are some things that you do that help you to recharge from those types of days or clients?
First and foremost, I go get a hug from my husband. He and I are so in sync and he's like my recharge station. So definitely getting a hug from him just makes me feel 10,000 times better. Also going outside and getting some sun. I don't know if it's because I grew up in California or if just because I work indoors. And so kind of like my body is always deprived of vitamin D. I don't know, but stepping out into the sunshine is like, it's kind of like what you're talking about with a shower. the sunshine coming down on me is like a shower of just rejuvenation. And then doing something with animals. I have a dog, I have a cat, I have a gecko, and I have 12 chickens. So even just like picking up my gecko and petting him because he's super soft and, you know, he's got these cute little eyelashes, or cuddling my cat, or taking my dog outside and watching him run laps and chase the birds, and just being around animals makes me so, so, so happy and helps me kind of recharge and feel very grounded before I can kind of re-enter the digital world. And I think that's something that we take for granted nowadays, is we think, oh, like it's so easy to work from home or from your cell phone or from your tablet or whatever. But what we're doing when we're doing that is connecting ourselves to a digital world with infinite taps on our energy. So it's like this constant drain when we have our phone that has 50 apps on it, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, email, Voxer, WhatsApp, all the things, Slack, like every single one of those things is pulling energy out of us. And I'm a huge supporter of leave your phone in your office when you go to bed. When my husband and I go on vacation, I never have photos because I don't have my phone on me and I'm just enjoying the moment. And that is so rejuvenative. If we can detach from the digital world and just be in the physical world, that is probably the best thing that I can recommend for anybody to do.
I want to cover a couple of key things that I believe help contribute to stress levels. The idea of like sleep, nutrition, movement, all of that good stuff. What are things that you do in each of those categories that you feel like help you to not necessarily like relieve stress, but to help combat stress on a daily basis? Like, are you someone who is I have a nighttime routine where I read for half an hour and I make sure I get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. Are you somebody who, you said you work out doing your own workout? Sometimes you have a trainer. Like, what sort of workouts are you doing? What sort of movement are you doing daily? What kind of nutrition are you eating? Because I feel like people don't associate that with helping them to combat stress. And I think it's so important, because if you kind of have that locked in, you can better handle stress, I believe, anyways.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I think particularly in the fitness and nutrition categories, they can cause us more stress when we're like, oh, you know, the big thing is being vegan nowadays, and I'm an immoral person if I'm not vegan. And, you know, we can take on these diets and these kind of like prescribed labels when we think that's what we quote unquote should be doing. And that actually causes us more stress. So for me, I've learned over the years that my body just hates carbs. When I eat carbs, I feel slow, I feel sluggish, I feel bloated, I retain water, my head is foggy. So I eat a mostly either low carb or ketogenic diet. I do really well with lean protein. I eat hard boiled eggs every day. Don't do a whole lot of dairy, but sometimes cheese with dinner. And then vegetables, like I literally crave vegetables. So we have a salad probably every other day. And then sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, I'm craving something green. And so one of the best books I can recommend on this is called The Fuck It Diet. And it's all about basically stripping away all of the shoulds placed on us by Atkins and paleo and what else is there, like Whole30 and all of these things that say this is how you should eat to lose weight or to be healthier, be a moral person or whatever. And instead, just listen to your body. What is your body craving? My body craves protein and my body craves green vegetables. So that's predominantly what I eat. In terms of exercise, same thing. Like, we download these apps that have these 30-day fitness regimens and things like that. But is that, like, when you look at that and you're like, oh, I'm about to go to the gym, do you feel excitement? Do you feel like, oh, this is going to feel so good? Or do you feel dread? If you feel dread and you're like, oh, I have to force myself to do this because this is the healthy thing to do, then that's causing you stress. That's not the healthy thing to do. Why don't you do something that actually seems like, oh, that would be fun? So for example, in the summer, we have a pool at the house that we moved to recently. And in the summer, we'll go swimming, or I will just do, I wouldn't consider myself a very knowledgeable yogi, but I will do what I think is yoga. And it's just like, whatever feels good for me. Like, I love downward dog. That's the one that like loosens up my shoulders and helps me stretch out my abs because I sit at a computer for a large portion of the day. Just going for walks outside. We have a pretty large property, so walking across the yard to the chicken coop and things like that. And then with regard to sleep, that's probably the area that I still really need to improve on. So I go to bed without my phone. I wake up without my phone. That is by far the best thing I've ever done for my sleep routine to help reduce stress. But I'm still very guilty of watching TV and movies in bed. And it's just fun and it's cozy with my husband. And we'll watch, you know, whatever we feel like watching for movie night or whatever. But not having your devices in your room, so the point where when you wake up first thing in the morning, you're thinking about, okay, it's the morning. Let me stretch. Let me do some movement. Let me get the blood flowing. Let me feel good. What do I want this day to be about? How do I want the day to go? You think about all of those things. Let me get some water. Let me hydrate myself. Let me take my vitamins. You think about all those things before you think about, what does everybody else need from me? What's waiting for me in my inbox, my email inbox, my Slack channels, all of that. First, focus on what you need. And so in terms of sleep routine, I mean, my sleep routine kind of is a little different every night. So I guess then for, or therefore it's not a routine exactly, but removing the demands of the digital world from the room where I sleep, that has been the biggest game changer.
I couldn't agree more. That's one thing that I've always been very mindful of, is like, this phone does not go into the bedroom. If I for whatever reason need it for an alarm, it goes into airplane mode and it goes away from me, so I'm not reaching for it at night or first thing in the morning. It's one thing that I think people don't really think about so much, and I think it's really, really important. And I love what you said it too about the diet, because it's funny, I just brought up Gary Vee is in the sense of like, if you're not working or working 24/7, you're not making contributions to your business or whatever. But he, on the flip side, he had just did a post like, fuck your shoulds. And it was essentially like, stop doing what people think you should be doing or what you should be doing. Like, it's, you're not serving anybody if you're always stressed about that or thinking about that. And it's, I often find, because too, I am in the yogi world, there is like this, you should be a vegan or vegetarian. And I'm like, that doesn't work for me. Do I eat vegan or vegetarian food? Yeah, I do. I like it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for me as a quote unquote diet. Like, I like to have, I'm someone who needs a lot of protein. Like, I hate when people kind of throw these blanket approaches to everybody, because I think it's, I mean, we're not all the same people. And I feel like we all know that, but yet we still take these blanket approaches to exercise and food and sleeping. And it's like, you have to do the thing that works for you. And there's obviously there's a little period of adjustment, or like, I don't want to say like forcing yourself to do something, but like, if you've never had a fitness routine and you want to start, there's this level of like psyching yourself up for it, you know, to do it once or twice a week to start. But
yeah,
we should never feel like, I hate this so much that I don't want to do this. It's like, so then why are you doing it?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think you make an excellent point that a lot of these diets claim this is the way to be healthy. This is the way to save the world. This is the way to lose weight, whatever the claim may be, but they're not taking into account everyone's individuality. And I would say veganism works really well for some people, and vegetarianism works really, really, really well for some people. Keto works really, really, really well for some people. And you have to figure out, what kind of person are you, in order to figure out what is the thing that's going to work for you. And if you just let people layer these shoulds on you and tell you what to do, you're just always looking outside yourself for the answers. And that's one thing that I really encourage my clients on the Chiron side to do is look inside, look inside, look inside. Now, of course, if they're like, hey, Ray, how do I get clients in my business? I'm not going to be like, well, what do you think? Look inside. No, but when it's like, hey, what kind of schedule do I need to have to be more productive? Or what kinds of creative work should I be doing and offering as a service? Or, you know, how should I be structuring my routines for fitness and nutrition? Should I eat 5 small meals a day or should I eat once a day? And that's the other thing. I tend to eat one meal a day. Sometimes I have a snack. Like I had 2 hard-boiled eggs this morning. Like, but for the most part, I eat one meal a day. That doesn't work for everyone. And so you have to look at what works for you. When have you felt the best in the past? What were you doing at that time? Okay, great. That's a starting point. Let's replicate that today. Give it 2 to 4 weeks. See how you feel. Tweak and optimize from there. And if you continue to do that, you're just going to get better and better and better, healthier and healthier and healthier. Despite what everyone else is saying is right or wrong, you need to figure out what's right for you.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want the audience to know about, whether it's a holistic stress relieving tip that you have found to be invaluable in your life or anything along the lines of like combating stress that you're like, you didn't ask me this, but I want the audience to know this?
Yeah, the one thing that I will say, and if there's any kind of like key takeaway that I really want people to leave here with, it's we all have heard about and maybe even experienced an anxiety attack or a panic attack. And what is an anxiety attack? It's when your mind gets so worked up and stressed and freaked out and worried about something bad happening that your physiology responds to those thoughts. So your heart starts beating faster, your palms get sweaty, your breathing gets shallow, your eyes get, what is it? Do they dilate? I can't remember if they dilate or they contract. Something happens. Like all these things physiologically happen. And so if that can happen in a negative situation, imagine what can happen if you do the reverse. If you stop letting these thoughts about, oh, I got to do this and got to do this and got to do this. Oh my God, I'm going to be such a failure. Oh my God, I'm not going to meet this goal and this goal and this goal and this financial. And da, 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 oh my God. And if you go, everything's okay. I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I have a roof over my head. I have an amazing dog. I have an amazing partner. I have amazing friends. My family life is good. Like, the sun's in the sky and it's a beautiful day. What if you think about that? What is that going to do to your physiology? We vastly underestimate how powerful our thoughts are. And we seem to accept it as a norm or as a standard or as a given that negative thoughts can cause bad things, but we never take that additional step to think about, well, what can positive thoughts, calming thoughts, grateful thoughts do to your physiology? It's an amazing transformation that can happen when you train your brain to think about the positive and the silver linings in every situation, as opposed to the worst case scenario.
I couldn't agree more with you. It's one of the things that I think, like, it's just so much more enjoyable and fun to think of those positive things. It's exhausting to think about negative things all the time, or like the what ifs and the worst case scenario. It's like, that's not fun. Nobody wants to be around those types of people. People want to be around the fun, positive. And I'm not saying like you have to be rainbows and butterflies 24 hours a day, yeah. 365 days a year.
Right.
But when you have more of that positive outlook, like, you just easier, even you're easier able to combat those negative things that do happen into your life, or bounce back from them, or pivot. And it's just, yeah. it's a lot more fun to be in a positive state of mind than it is to be in the negative side.
Yeah. It's all about, what's your default? Is your default being a glasses half empty kind of person, or is your default being glasses half full kind of person? What's your default? And if your default is the positive, then that's going to be the upward trend over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to ask you a question, and it's a little unfair because you already gave us a book recommendations, but I'm going to ask you, is there another book or a podcast or resource that has brought you incredible value. It does not have to be related to stress. It could be anything at all that has just made a profound impact in your life.
Absolutely. So I'm a huge book person. I'm a total nerd. I've got stacks and stacks of books all over my house. So it's going to be a book recommendation. I would say You Are the Placebo by Joe Dispenza is, it's life-changing. I mean, he goes into the science of how powerful your brain really is. And he shows all these studies of how people have mentally caused themselves illness, even death, mentally caused themselves joy and abundance and fitness and health. He goes into all of it, and it just shows you from a very practical, scientific, you know, if I can see it, then it exists kind of standpoint, just how powerful your brain really is. And if you can choose to think the positive, healthy things, then you can completely change your life. So I would definitely recommend You Are the Placebo.
Perfect. I have both of those, the fuck it diet book and that one written down too, because I will definitely be checking those out. Ray, if people want to work with you, if they want to check out what you're doing online, maybe they just want to follow you online and see what you're up to, where can everybody go and find you?
Sure. So you can find me at chironconsulting.us, and Chiron is spelled C-H-I-R-O-N, consulting.us. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and of course my website. And then you can just email me. There's an email form on my website, or you can probably get my email address from RocketReach or Hunter.io or whatever you want. Just email me. I'm open.
Perfect. I will make sure everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.